Welcome, welcome, welcome to another UN Insider special. We do it all the time when there's big games. Obviously, this is the biggest of the biggest for Oklahoma during the 2025 season. And we've had a recurring guest on with us twice, no, three times, none other than Jake Crane from Crane and Company. Jake, appreciate you coming on with us once again. You, like I said off there, you provide amazing content for us. We love having you on, man. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It's like I was telling you, I only know four things, and they all start with F. Football happens to be one of them, so I might as well try and do that. But no, I appreciate you guys having me back. Definitely not going to bring up the point that I had Oklahoma going 10-2 and making the college football playoff at all during
No,
this.
don't bring that
So
up. Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up.
that will not be brought up as much as I would like to. But no, I mean, just I'm excited for you guys. I really am. The way you guys answered when your back was against the wall, I mean, going on the road and beating Tennessee and
Yeah.
Alabama. And I'm just happy for Brent because, there's a lot of fake coaches out there. We see the craziness that has happened at some places and including up in Ann Arbor. And at the end of the day, as somebody that was in the coaching profession, I know for a fact that Brent really cares about the guys. Like, it's not a
Yeah.
fake thing. And you can tell by the way the effort with which they play. And, it's not always been perfect, especially offensively. And there's some reasons for that, particularly the offensive line, in my opinion. But those guys go out there and play balls to the wall for him. And that is the best way to judge what type of human being you have leading your program. And I'm always happy when good things happen to good people, and couldn't be more excited for Brent and Jim Nagy and the staff over there. Just really proud of them.
Yeah,
And I'm not even an
so
Oklahoma fan. I'm from Lee County, Alabama. So, but I like good
old
things
Lee
happening to good
County, huh?
people. Yeah.
Wow, so
Three,
you're
three,
down
four,
there
baby.
literally by Auburn, huh? Or in Auburn.
Oh yeah, man. I grew up. We moved to, it's funny. I went to up like a high school, but we moved 11 times within the city of Auburn, which now that I'm an adult and own my own home and have a family, is so insane to think about. My pops used to say when he knew where the silverware was, it was time to move, which is just absolutely nuts. Absolutely crazy. Diabolical, in fact.
I've actually heard you say that before on your show, which
Yeah, it's
I don't like. It just like registered, like you talked about moving around in the coaching profession
Dude, like,
and
and
how
that was just
wild
in
it
the state of
was.
Alabama. Like, it's
Yeah.
just insane.
Opa, like it. So you grew up around Columbus. How far? Josh Pate is a Columbus
Columbus, yeah.
is a guy. So you
Look,
guys are
Columbus, look,
literally
Josh
like
won't say
30
this, but
minutes from each
Columbus is
other.
really just in East Alabama, if we're being
It
honest.
is. It is.
I mean, heck, Central Phoenix City was in our region, which is, pretty much in Georgia, if you look at the map. So yeah, Josh, we were hanging out at the same waterfalls.
That's pretty awesome. That's really, really awesome. And now you guys both have blown up and like the faces of college football. So how
Ah,
cool is
well,
it? How,
look.
what are, but what are the odds of that, honestly? Like, what are the odds of
Well, the same odds as you got the Avengers as like a sixth grade team where you're
that's
living.
true.
So about the
That's
same
true.
odds as that.
Very, very true. Yeah. Not very lucky. Or yeah, that, excuse me. Very, very lucky is what
Very
it
lucky,
is.
yeah.
Yeah. So college football is wild right now. Like super wild. Like we let's okay. I don't want to bury the lead, but I'm going to bury the lead because for the OU fans and Alabama fans, it's going to be talking about the OU Alabama game. But we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what's going on with Michigan because I think it has there it one, there's a connection to Oklahoma, Sharon Moore, a very famous OU alum, for positives and negatives now, unfortunately. I tell people all the time I've known Sharon for a very long time, but and this everything shocked me. Like this whole thing shocks me. And I haven't really been so busy, I haven't had a chance to really kind of process everything. But for you doing the shows every day, what is your overall take on this? And like how big of a how much attrition do you think is going to come of this eventually if they do not hurry up and hire somebody?
Well, I'm kind of in a weird spot because, if you've ever watched our show, there's three of us. It's me, my
Yeah, and
brother,
one
and
of them's a
David
Michigan
Cohn,
man.
and David played at Michigan. And for about 3.5 months, we've known he's kind of told us, like, look, something's going on. Like, I'm not gonna come out and say exactly what it is, because again, like, if it's wrong and you try and ruin a guy's life for something that was wrong, that in itself is wrong. So when the announcement was made that he was fired, we weren't as shocked as everybody else. Okay, now, David, again, being the type guy he is, wasn't going to come out and just try and get clicks and start the rumor mill before this was announced, because that's the type guy he is. But the stuff after, like the breaking into the girl's house allegedly and that stuff, that's a different level of nuts, to be honest. Like, that's the best way I can put it. That part was shocking, overtly shocking. And again, you're innocent until proven guilty, but it really feels like, oh, boys, and in deep. And it's one of the ultimate bag fumbles of all time, in my opinion. When you look at the type job that Michigan is, it is without a doubt a top five job in all of college sports. When you look at the resources, the fan base, the money, the tradition, the facilities.
But that's
not the saddest part of this. The saddest part of this is a married man with children decided to do this and then freak out. You know, again, I'm not saying that you can't understand it if you don't have a family, but now that I do, the most tragic part of this is what that his wife and these kids are going to have to deal with, because he's an idiot. Like, I'll just be honest, he's an idiot. And you know, it's not the first person to cheat on a spouse or do this. There's a lot of idiots out there, but when you're sitting in a position that he is sitting in, and you throw that away for this instance, I don't feel sorry for you. I'll pray for you, but I don't feel sorry for you. I don't really feel sorry on the football side of it, because at the end of the day, I don't think Sherrone Moore was going to last two or three more years there with the way this thing is going. But then also, it's just the family element to me. It's just, I can't imagine making that decision and then making the decisions he made after that. So the real tragedy is what happened to that family. I think there's a silver lining, if there ever is a silver lining in anything, in this and that. I don't think Sherrone Moore is that good of a football coach, man. I just don't. I don't. I think he's probably a really good offensive line coach, probably a pretty good coordinator, but I don't think he was going to last as the head coach at Michigan too long. And if you have those type of mental problems, getting your ass out of here is probably the best thing that could have happened. And it's not like Michigan's got to go searching under bridges for somebody to take that job. Somebody will take that job that has a lot of cachet, and you know, what a time to be able to come in and try and reset the standard for what they believe it should be over there. So I think in the long run, Michigan's actually going to come out better on the football side.
Okay. So you say that. Now, when you say long run, what do you think you can rebuild through the transfer portal pretty quickly. But at the same time, if, like I said, they don't hire somebody soon, the transfer portal opens up, and it's only a 10-day window now. Like, it's not 15, not 20. It's literally January 2nd to January 12th or 13th or whatever.
Yep.
It is, and you're done. So that's why you see this mass exodus of all these kids that are going to get in the portal right now leading up to those dates, so they can start talking behind the scenes, get recruited, all that type of stuff. The second you're in the portal, you're open game. The visits can start taking place between those dates that I said earlier. They don't get somebody within the next week or two. You have to imagine there's going to be some whoa names popping in the portal from Michigan, where they're like, I'm not going to sit around and wait to see what happens. One of them, I think, would be just massive, is Andrew Marsh, freshman All-American.
Yeah, no, he's nice. He's nice.
But that's what I mean. Like, you could be losing players like that that have a chance to help you in your long-term goal. Do you see like a short-term bump down a little bit before you see that long-term up for them?
Most likely, because of the timing that you brought up. Now, you know, again, we saw the way that Ole Miss kind of handled, obviously a different situation, but their coach leaving kind of at a weird time. They went ahead and made Pete the permanent guy. I think Michigan is going to hire a head coach before the transfer portal opens up. But you have two ideas battling here. It's on the short term, we're going to lose all these players if we don't hire a coach, but we can't go out and hire the wrong guy. I would rather you hire the right guy and take a lump for the first year and then have the right guy in place to move on from that, then go make a rash decision, which I don't know with what's going on at Michigan, how you could make a rash decision as the head coach of the football program when you look at everything that's gone on. But nothing shocks me anymore, honestly, when it comes to college athletics. So, but having said that, Michigan's got the money to do it. Like, right. And the you get the right guy in there quickly with the pockets that Michigan has, you can be competing very, very quickly and winning very, very quickly. So I think Michigan's very well equipped for a quick turnaround with what they have to be able to get back to the level that we've seen them at in this past half decade. So, you know, if it was somewhere that didn't have that, then you're looking at a massive problem and probably multiple years of cellar dwelling. I'm just not seeing it at Michigan. When, because look, you can say what you want about what gets said and character and this, that, or the other. At the end of the day, just like in most professions, money talks, BS walks.
Yeah. So you have to think, and just the last thing on the Michigan thing, you have to think that all the quarterbacks that hopped in the portal has to be a good thing for Michigan. Because if you're Bryce Underwood, do you really want to join that market with as flooded and as talented as it is already with Raiola? Oh my gosh, Cincinnati's quarterback.
Is Raiola that good though?
Yeah,
can we just
I
be
know.
Honest
my
about
name,
Raiola?
My name.
I know
I
what
agree.
You're saying by name.
I agree.
I just, God, we tried to try and make this guy out to, and I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I mean, the hype train on this guy has just been out of control, and he's a little bit of an above average passer, and he's not overtly athletic. I don't know. I just feel like to me, Sam Levitt's a problem. Like in a good, like if Sam Levitt goes to LSU, they're a problem. I'm gonna tell you another one that won't get the press that Raiola will, but if he goes to the right space, can do some damage. And that's Sorsby from Cincinnati.
Yep, Sorsby.
Like that's another guy. But to your point with Bryce, I mean, yeah, you may have to take a pay cut with what they've paid you, even though it's a year over year thing with Bryce. It's not like they just, you know, the Brinks truck brought $12 million to the Underwood residence and they put it under the chimney. Like, so yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. A lot of it's just who they hire. You know, if you hire the right guy, you're going to keep him. But I do think the flooding of the QB market does make it a little bit harder for Bryce to hop in because the pool's just so full of people. It's like, you know, watching the drone footage of like the rivers in India. There's a trillion people in there. That's what it feels like with the quarterback market right now.
No, that's a good analogy. The college football playoffs and just I have to ask you on the G5.
Oh, it's a joke. I already know what you're going to ask. Can I just go ahead and tell you what I was going to say to what you were going to
ask?
Do
it. Go for it. Go for it, please. It's
so funny watching BYU and Notre Dame and Vandy fans and Texas fans get upset at like Alabama and Oklahoma and some of these other teams, when we have James Madison and Tulane in the top 12 team playoff at the end of the season. The automatic bids thing's got to stop. The automatic big thing has to stop. You can't have meritocracy and automatic bids. We've got to stop letting people automatically get in there. I mean, Boise State got a 4 seed last year. I watched Cincinnati make a 4-team playoff. Like, you can get there from the group of five. I'm not one of these people that says the group of five should never be in the playoff. What I'm saying is, if the group of five wants to be in the playoff, you better finish in the top 14 for the way I have it, or the 12 for the college football playoff. Here's what we should do. I can make it very simple because we have idiots running this thing. We really do, honestly. Here's what you do. You have 14 teams that make the postseason, all right? The top 10 are automatically in what's going to be the 12-team playoff. You then have play-in games between the 11 seed versus the 14 seed, the 12 seed versus the 13 seed, and the winner of those two games become the 11 seed and the 12 seed, and then we have our playoff. So
the
for
NBA
example,
playoffs, essentially.
Say it again?
Like the NBA playoffs, essentially.
To a certain extent, yeah. You have those playing games, but they're not just awarded automatically to certain teams from certain places. Imagine if we had BYU playing Notre Dame and Vandy playing Miami this past weekend.
Oh, I mean,
you want to talk about making money? And you play it the week after the conference championship games, because in BYU's case, you'd have had to play in the conference championship game and then the play-in game, which I'm sure they would not have complained about, because you have a chance to play it. Clark Lee was trying to schedule a 13th game 2 weeks ago so they could play another one and nobody would pick up the phone. So it's not like you wouldn't play in it. BYU would be the same. Miami would be the same. Notre Dame would be the same. As far as the way we select the teams, our selection process, because of automatic bids, and the clowns we have on this committee, it almost negates everything else. It almost makes it unserious as a sport.
Right.
It's very simple. You don't have to be Alan Turing or Goodwill Hunting to come up with the mathematical formula to get the 12 to 14 teams in. It should be, and we can go through the variables of it and debate that, and that's fine. It should be an 80-20 objective to subjective. So the 80% are the numbers. And how do you get to that? Well, you do strength of schedule plus strength of record divided by the amount of games played. And the lower number, the better. That way you keep incentivizing conference championship games. So yeah, you won't get an automatic bid for winning it, but if your number we're dividing with is 13 as opposed to 12, you're going to be rewarded in that final number when it comes to the tally. So that's the 80%. The 20% is a committee made up of people, and everybody follow the bouncing balls here, that aren't currently getting paid or employed by institutions that are competing and eligible to be in the postseason. College basketball is the same way. The only way North Carolina got in the field of 64 last year, or 68, whatever the hell it is now, is because Bubba Cunningham, North Carolina's AD, was the head of the selection committee. If he's not, they're not getting in. We've got to get all these people that are currently affiliated with the school off this thing. You got to get them off of it. You got to get people that are not getting paid by an institution and that actually know ball. And you televise or live stream the selections that are being made during the meetings. You hear the guys that are selected to be on the committee say why they ranked, because you're going to rank 14 teams, all right? And you're going to use that number that you rank those 14 teams with. Like, let's say Indiana's one. Well, you're going to get a one added to your final tally. And remember, the lower the number, the better. So if you rank a team one, their number is going to be lower. You use that for your other 20%. And after every single reveal that we have, there is a press conference that has every member of the committee at it that can be asked questions, whether in person or online, for a 30-minute deal. That's what we should have. But we don't. And you know how many people would watch that? You know how many people would watch a live stream of the college football playoff selection process?
Yeah, how they came about with it, yeah.
And then you know, as a coach and an AD, what you have to do schedule-wise to put yourself in the best spot to make the college football playoff. Because they don't tell us how they get to the numbers that they get to, believe me, we tried to find it. You dig enough in this hole, you realize that a private company does it, and you're never going to find out how they get the numbers they get. And then we have these people on the committee that, again, don't need to be on the committee. Like, you don't need to be worrying about if a team's going to be the 9 seed and how much gas it's going to take to get the volleyball team to San Antonio at the same time. Like, we've got to do better. The sport is too beautiful. It is too great of a gift, and the college version of it is the best version of it to select teams the way that we select them. It's an unserious process to me.
Hey, Sooners and Sports Fans, we will get you right back to the podcast, but first we want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors, SeatGeek. It is a great time to go and see live sporting events right now. On SeatGeek, you have great ticket prices going on right now for this Friday night's OU-Alabama home playoff game. If not that game, maybe you want to go and support your OU men's and women's basketball team. That's right. They are the Bedlam champs right now. Maybe you like NFL and NBA, which is rocking and rolling right now. That's right. You can not only get OU college football playoff home tickets on SeatGeek, but you can also get NBA tickets for the hometown defending champs if you live in Oklahoma. You can also get World Cup tickets with one of the world's largest sporting events right down the road in Dallas this summer. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. SeatGeek is the official marketplace for the Oklahoma Sooners, so all Sooners tickets on SeatGeek are authentic and secure. I love using SeatGeek. I used it this past week to make sure we got college football playoff tickets for my family. SeatGeek is not just a place to buy tickets, but also a place to check and make sure you're getting a good deal on your purchase. So if you're wondering if you're spending too much or being overpriced, SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket is rated from a scale 1 to 10, so you know if you're getting a good deal. So look for the green dot, which green means good, or red dot, which means bad. Plus, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. So after all of that, make sure you go to SeatGeek.com and use the promo code OUINSIDER. That's right. It gets you 10% off any ticket with the promo code OUINSIDER on your next ticket purchase. Make sure you click the link in the description, download the app below, and have that code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you, SeatGeek. Okay, I totally agree. My biggest question in your theory, your formula, and or your scenario, how you would like to go do it, because I think it's a really, really good idea. Would you have media members, be it like guys like a Herb Street, you, a Pate, like those be the types that get up there and are the ones that go through this process? And I guess the rub, if you're Kirk Herbstreit or you or Josh Pate or anybody like that, Brooks Austin, whoever it is that wants to get up there and do all that type of stuff, doesn't that hinder your relationships with said schools moving forward, though? And you guys trying to do what you're doing for your job, would that be kind of a conflict
I mean,
with
again, if you're a sycophant to a certain school, yes, but ain't nobody's paying my bills. I don't get Auburn don't send me money. Ohio State doesn't send me money. And that's why getting out of one fan base is so important covering this thing
Yeah.
nationally because, you know, again, and it's also not trying to be reaching too far to make yourself look non-biased, like or unbiased. You can just watch me. I want the best teams in. And look, everybody has natural bias, I guess, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a hard thing to get away from, but that's why you live stream it. That's why there's transparency because people can see,
Yeah.
okay, not just who you picked, but explain to me why you picked them outside of the
There's
80%
no
objective
vendetta.
part. There's
Yeah.
no vendetta. Nobody pays me. Like, that's the thing. Like, I get paid by the amount of people that watch our show, not from one, not for saying good things about one team or saying bad things about the other. Because at the end of the day, Brandon, you know what I want to be? I want to be right.
Yeah.
That's how I make money. Being right, whether that be is this team's going to do this in this game, or you need to bet on this, this over, this under. I want to get paid for being right. Now, nobody is always right in anything. You never see that. But I would rather be judged on whether I'm right than whether I'm carrying water for a team or not.
Right. Oh, totally agree. I think that's a your scenario, I think, would be a money, just maybe throwing money like those little guns that shoot up
Oh
from
my gosh, can you just imagine? Like, all right, hey, final playoff reveal. Here's the meeting. Here are the numbers. Everybody's played. They're not, you can't dispute them. They're numbers, right? They're not manipulated. You know the formula. Do it yourself at home on your own calculator. Here's the strength of schedule. We can argue how that's built up because I think there's some things that need to change within that. Here is your strength of record, your record overall. You put that number out, you divide it by the amount of games played. That's just it. You can get mad at me if you want, but I'm not the one who invented numbers or math, okay? No, Al Gore did that. So, like, it's to me, I think the more transparent it is, the more people could be like, okay, well, I saw him. That's why debates are so important in elections. I need to see you try and explain it when somebody asks you to explain it. And if you dodge it or duck around it, then I've got a problem. And if I don't like your explanation, well, at least I know where you're at on it and I just disagree. But we don't do that. We Wizard of Oz this thing with a bunch of 65-year-olds who are, and Hunter Yurecek is the guy that's talking. Hunter Yurecek,
Sweat
Arkansas
just
doesn't
going
even
down
want
his
him back. They don't
face.
want him to come back. Like it's insane to me. It's almost like back in the days in medieval days when the king wanted to keep his bloodline, but his son was stupid, but his son still had to be the king. Like that's what it feels like to me. Like God, it's like God, Jeff the blacksmith's a genius. I mean, the guy invented straws. Like he should be the king.
So here's the thing that I was thinking about when you said it, your formula, how you want to go about doing it keeps people playing or it keeps teams playing good non-conference games where you don't have an Alabama canceling who I can't remember who they canceled here recently, and you're just like, what the hell, dude? That
Well,
was going
like
to be
my
the
thing is,
biggest
Brandon,
game.
I don't blame them though. Like
I know, I
if
don't
I'm a
blame them
Texas,
now, I don't
Oh
now, but like in your formula, they're rewarded for playing tough. Okay, so you lost to the number three team in the country out of conference. Cool. That's probably going to help you as long as
yeah,
you
that will
do
help
well
your
the rest.
strength of schedule for sure.
Or a Texas losing to Ohio State, like you're probably still in the playoffs even with three losses because your schedule, the rest of it's
Yeah,
good
look,
outside
we're
of
going
that.
to let the numbers do this. We're going to let the number, and you know what? Ranked wins should be counted at the end of the season. At the end of the season, if the team finished ranked, it should count as a ranked win. That's another thing that just drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah, fair enough. OU Alabama first round of the playoffs. You picked Oklahoma to go all the way to the national title game. And we will link Jake's video down below, Crane and Company.
I'm feeling dangerous.
Where they predicted their national champs. I don't want to give away who he has OU playing, but he did have Oklahoma playing and beating Alabama. So with that being said, why are you so confident in Oklahoma?
Well, one, I think they got a pretty good draw when you look at like the full path that you would take. Out of the top four seeds, Texas Tech would be the one I'd want to play the most. Indiana's actually second to me. And I know some people be like, that's nuts. That's insane.
They beat Ohio State.
Look, I'm telling you right now, I think that Oklahoma-Indiana game could get really weird really quickly, especially when you look at the injury that Indiana just had on the defensive line, which is massive for them because Cignetti's done a great job supplementing the roster, but they don't have a lot of those guys yet, you know, running around. I think Oklahoma could find
they
some
never
ways.
Get injured.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. To move the ball. But when I look at the path, obviously Alabama's a team you've beaten twice. You get to play them at home. I think Ty's back's hurt, honestly. I think he's hurt. And
you
you're
think
really,
or you know?
I'm not a doctor.
We've heard the same thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
You know,
look,
Ty's
I'm not
back's
violating
hurt.
HIPAA or whatever that is.
Yeah.
He looks hurt to me. Now we'll see how he looks. Look, there's some things they can give you that go-go juice really, really works. But playing at home with Oklahoma getting healthier too. Look, at some point, John Mateer, you got to be the guy, bro. I know the offensive line isn't great. The run game hadn't been great. And you hadn't been able to be balanced. But at some point, you got to put the cape on, man. Like, they brought you in to put the cape on and protect the city. And you haven't done it. What a perfect time to do it, starting in the college football playoff, to cement your legacy there at Oklahoma. So I've got them getting past Bama. Home game, you've beat them twice in a row. I like the way it's trending. The Indiana game, I think Oklahoma can stay in that thing long enough to make the play at the end of the game. And having Tate Sandell is such a weapon. It is such a weapon when you're going to be playing in some of these low-scoring games. It's like having a team that struggles in the post in basketball, but, God, you got a dude that can just light it up from three, and we can get you to that 75-point basketball mark. Then, you know, if you were to beat Indiana, then you play the winner of what I think is going to be Oregon-Texas Tech, which is a fantastic draw. A fantastic draw to play in a semifinal game because Texas Tech's offense, I don't think they're very good when it comes down to it. Morton has been injury prone. He hasn't looked great lately to me. I will be taking the under if it's Oklahoma, Texas Tech. And then Oregon, I think it's Dan Lanning's best coaching job by far. They just basically got a bunch of 12-year-olds that are running around out there that don't understand they're supposed to be doing this. And if you look in some of the big games Oregon has played in, which hasn't been much, they haven't exactly lit the world on fire. And I think Oklahoma is more battle-tested and can hang with them up front. And I think move the ball against that Oregon defense a little better than what people think. So at the end – now – I have them playing Texas Tech, not Oregon, in that semifinal game. So I just think the path is good for OU and getting back healthier and having that chip on your shoulder offensively. That's why I got them going as far as I got them going.
Okay, so in this game right here, first off, the run game, both teams not very good at running the ball. Oklahoma, I will say, has been more – this is odd to say, and it feels weird to say, because when you look at the run offense efficiency, Alabama somehow is still better than Oklahoma, despite
– Yeah, but that's like being the skinniest kid at fat camp. Like, it really
doesn't
mean anything.
Make sense. Yeah. But I look at the 109 attempts for Torrey Blaylock for 481 yards, 80 attempts for Xavier Robinson, 419, 130 – 558 for John Mateer. Then I go over here to Alabama and I look at their run game. Jam Miller, 123 for 493.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Hill, 61 for 228. Kevin Riley, 56 for 222. AK Deer, 19 for 140. And Jeremy Bernard, 17 for 101. I'm just confused. When
yeah,
I look at it, I'm just
you
like,
said
Oklahoma's,
efficiency, right?
Yeah,
you said
but
efficiency.
Oklahoma's better at running the ball. Even averages, it's kind of.
Well, I think Oklahoma's run it more than Bama, right?
Probably.
Which I think can hinder that number. And Alabama also ran for 10,000 yards against Eastern Illinois. So
that's true.
Like, I've watched both these teams. Neither one are great at running the ball, but I do know Mateer can run it. And if you can, that quarterback design run can get a hat on a hat, you can create some problems. To me, this is a game just like the first one, and really, honestly, just like the one last year, where a team's going to lose this one. They're not going to win it. Like, who's going to lose it? Who's going to turn the ball over, right? Yeah. Who's going to have the penalties? Who's not going to be able to have success on third down to elongate drives and keep time of possession and keep your defense off the field? This just seems like a game somebody loses, somebody doesn't win. And to be honest with you, a lot of games get lost. They don't get won. And there's a beauty in that, especially in a year like this. So, these teams are very similar outside of the quarterback's ability to run. Not that Ty's a paraplegic or anything, but like he's not running like Mateer's running. Who can stay on schedule in this one? And a lot of that comes down to penalties. Penalties are going to be huge. Second and 5 in this game is second and 10. Second and 10 in this game is second and 15. And second and 15 in this game is, hey, let's just punt it.
that is the biggest, like, crapped on two offenses I've ever heard. But it's true. Well, it's true. No, they're
you know,
bad.
Again, here,
they're bad. They're bad.
I can lie. You want me to lie?
No, but here's the thing. And to your point, there was this graph put out and everybody was dogging on Oklahoma. How are they getting in the playoffs? Because their offense has just been atrocious. So an OU fan put up, and I want to credit him. I just forgot his name, but he'll know if you're listening. I'm sorry I didn't credit you, but he did it. I didn't do it. He did it.
We'll just call him Todd.
No, I think it was like Leslie or something like that. I can't remember his name. But he put the last 5 games up next to each other, Alabama and Oklahoma, and their, you know, the yards per game, the points, and all that type of stuff. And Oklahoma was as good as Alabama. Everybody was crapping on OU's offense and talking about how great Alabama's offense is and what they do outside of throwing the ball. They're amazing and yada, yada, yada. And Oklahoma is just as good, if not better, in every category. And it was just like, what are you all talking? Like, what are we watching? There is this preconceived notion that everybody automatically runs with a narrative and you cannot get away from it. If somebody says it and everybody buys into it, doesn't matter the stats. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's what everybody believes.
Well, I just laugh because didn't Oklahoma go on the road and beat Bama this year?
They did.
Like how I don't need four games with numbers next to it to know that Oklahoma is better than Alabama. Right. Yeah. Like now nobody's arguing these teams are elite offensively right now or that in all three phases, this is an elite team. I don't think we have that in college football this year, to be honest, but when I look at teams that have elite sides of the ball, Oklahoma has an elite side of the ball. Actually, probably two when you count special teams. Alabama's defense has gotten better. They've got really talented players. Alabama's offense is okay. The special teams have gone back and forth. So I see one team that has an elite side of the ball, possibly two, and another team that doesn't have one. So you win games with complementary football. You win games with trying to be balanced. But in a year where it seems like the only team that is somewhat balanced is kind of Indiana, I don't think that's a losing scenario that Oklahoma is walking into. It's just I just think some people, view Alabama in a different light than other people do, and it'll be that way for a long time.
Yeah, Nick Saban's not walking through the door, even though Kalen DeBoer is an amazing coach.
He's a great coach. He's a great coach. He really is amazing.
I think he may. Do you think there's some validity to
the Michigan job?
Well, here's this. If I'm them, I go grab Dillingham and I run with that all day, every day, because I just want to see him and Ryan Day have a freaking shit on each other. Off,
yeah, just, that'd just be fun
with press conferences. I want to see it because they're both really snippy. They're both quick-witted, and I've known Dillingham for a long time, and that's just who he is, even away from the presser. That's who he is. God, man, I want to see that so bad because I think he fits up there in that scenario as well. But even though he's an Arizona State guy, but you get DeBoer, I think with Bryce Underwood, that thing can be fixed real quick.
Oh yeah, you put DeBoer at Michigan, they're a problem. Like it's instant. Yeah. It's you know, eat instant mac and cheese. I mean, we're just throw it in the microwave, take it out. All right, let's eat. Here's my thing. I don't think DeBoer's going to go to Michigan. I don't personally. And I would, if I was DeBoer, I would use this as leverage, which he is and his agent is because they're smart.
Sexton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they know what they're doing. But the one thing that does give me pause on that is if there was any school that could take Alabama's head football coach, because there ain't a lot of them, Michigan's probably one of them. And he is more of that type of guy in that part of the country than in the South, which isn't his fault. I mean, obviously you can still win. So like those two things I look at and say, okay, well, you know, there's a possibility there. I just don't think it's very strong. That's
is that a distraction though? Without your, you know,
I mean,
is there a distraction there right now in Tuscaloosa?
He's come out and denied it. I mean, we've seen that movie before, but I don't know if Kalen's like that. I don't think Kalen would come out and say that and then reverse course. As far as distraction goes, I'm telling you, I know people in that building. They are not distracted. I can promise you that right now.
Good. I love hearing that type of thing because you want this to be the game that
it's. Yeah, let's go. Put Pacific Rim this thing. Y'all fight.
Yeah, for real. For real. Real quickly, three reasons why OU wins, three reasons why Bama wins.
Three reasons why Oklahoma wins. I'll say first reason, Alabama turns the ball over because they can't run the ball and got to throw it more. I would say the second reason is because Alabama's field goal kicker, while he's been better lately, struggled in big moments earlier in the year, and he misses a couple kicks that Tate doesn't miss. And three, I would say the penalty yardage for Alabama puts them in a hole a lot on early downs, early in drives, being on the road, because that place is going to be an absolute madhouse. I would say on the Oklahoma side, three reasons they were to lose. One, they get caught in a couple run stunts and blitzes, and Alabama's able to hit big plays. Two would be that John Mateer tries to do too much, and when he puts on the cape, he just puts balls in places that he shouldn't, and Alabama does to Oklahoma what Oklahoma's done to Alabama, and they're able to win the game with field position by turnovers and then scoring through turnovers. I would say the third reason that Oklahoma would lose is because I would say that Ryan Grubb is just so deep in his bag that he's able to dial up a couple things that Oklahoma just wasn't ready for. Yeah. Or Alabama is overtly aggressive and they're able to hit a couple balls downfield for big plays or hit a big fake punt or something like that, or run a kick, fake or reverse on a kickoff and run it back. Those would be the reasons I think for either.
Gotcha. Well, Jake, appreciate you so, so very much once again for coming on here to the OU Insider Special. College football playoff version. Make sure you go and check out Crane and Company on YouTube all the time, every day. They're dropping daily content, talking college football 365, normally 7 days a week, particularly.
We're racking them. We're racking them up.
Yeah. I mean, they're on there all the time talking football. So make sure you go check that out over there, their YouTube. We will put links down there below. Make sure you all can do that. Jake, once again, thank you so very much. That's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Special College Football Playoff Edition. Make sure you're subscribed to this YouTube channel or the podcasting platform, whatever you're listening to us on. Make sure you go over to OU Insider. It's $1 for the first few days. Lots of content, transfer portal, recruiting, college football playoff stuff, basketball, men's and women's, plus softball. You guys love your softball. We got that covered for you. Baseball, all the above. Athletic director, that's still open. Joe C's leaving. We have notes on that stuff coming. Make sure you're over there on OUinsider.com. Just type it up in your URL, that green button, join now. We also get the athletic, actually, for a whole year, complimentary on On3 and OU Insider, if you join right now. Jake, thank you once again. My name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.